Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Blindsides and Banter Podcast. It's the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man, I'm doing fantastic. I'm so happy the Hunter's gone. Not only was he your winner pick, so he denies you the hat-trick of wins, of winner picks in a row, but he was also one of the most boring people on the cast, and I think I was sort of certain he was going to win, and him going home sort of opens up the game for everyone. So I'm super happy he's gone, and I'm really excited to talk about it today.
Look, I'm happy to talk about Hunter going. I'm a little bit disappointed just because I was on such a roll, but I do agree the king of the game, from what we saw for a lot of the game, was definitely not the king, and his strategy and reads were definitely not where we saw it. But I first want to introduce our guest, my friend and one of the fun duo of the podcast, Cup of Immunity. We have Sam Carlin. Sam, how you doing, mate?
Hey, boys. Welcome. Wait, what?
It's not your podcast,
It's been a while since I've been on a podcast. Thanks so much for having me. I'm going great. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Even better having you here, mate.
It's fallen off the rails already. Sorry.
You've done this before, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Sam, what are your feelings on this season? Like, just tell us, because I know how big of a super fan you are. We've been discussing this over the entire season. And just tell the fans, how you feel?
Yeah, look, it was an absolute slog. Like, I hated the first probably, four or five episodes. It felt like it was just so draining. I was not having a bar of it. Barnu can go to hell. Like, everyone.
What? Thank you, Sammy. Thank you.
But I will say, the last probably like 2-3 episodes, it's bringing me back in. It's feeling really good. It's turning around. I think that we are in for a really good rest of the season.
I think we are as well. And the craziness that is this season, season 46, I think, I don't think it's going to get to the top of anyone's rankings. I can see it very hovering around very close to the bottom. But it is definitely a unique season, a unique cast, and a unique setup to how we've gotten to this point.
Yeah, I think I've seen a pretty good comparison online. People calling it Gabon 2.0, which is, for me, pretty accurate. Like, Gabon was a mess. They had, like, big characters, like Crystal Cox, Randy, Kenny. Everyone was, like, fighting with each other with Sugar. And it's similar to this season. I think, like, there's so many people fighting with each other. People hate each other. Venus, Liz, Q, you got Ben the wild card. There's so much going on. Tiffany's yelling at Q, like a lot of animosity towards people. And it's fun to watch because it is such a mess and we don't know where it's going. And then you've sort of got like the two straight people in the middle in Maria and Charlie, who are sort of, to me, dictating where the game's going. And it's now that Hunter's gone, I think it sets up for a great final eight onwards. Like, there's going to be a lot of chaos. And that's what I like to see as a viewer. I want to see unpredictability. So we're definitely set up for that.
We are definitely set up for that. That is an understatement and a half. I don't know where this season's going. We've got a few sort of forerunners that we might think could win it. My original winner pick's obviously gone, as you've so lovely described. Just so nice, and I feel so warm from that. But yeah, like we've talked about this throughout the season, throughout our podcasting, as in this new era, the closest people have the best chance to get to the end. When you go into the merge and you have someone you can trust, or a group of people you can trust that you're close with, it really catapults you through that sort of early post-merge. And it gets you deeper into the merge to this final eight, to this final seven coming up. And it really gives you guys a chance. Charlie and Maria, as we've seen this entire season, have been thick as thieves. Yes, people have thought that they're close with Charlie. Yes, people thought that they're close with Maria. But these two have really dictated. They dictated it on Seager. They were the swing, and they seem to be in that position the entire way through this merge. They're doing really, really well, keeping a head on their shoulders, talking to each other, keeping everyone on their side. They seem to be working with almost everyone, especially this episode. They definitely had discussions everywhere, and people were giving them information constantly. This is a really good setup for them possibly getting to the end.
No, definitely. I think they're like, for me, they're like the nexus of power. They're in the middle of everything. Like you said, they've sort of got options. Everyone's coming to them. Because they are a pair, it's sort of, if you get them, you're getting not just one vote, you get two votes. So I think that's good. But I do think they're both still making mistakes. And that's something I want to sort of talk about, especially Maria, where in this episode, Kenzie comes to her and says, let's get out Tiff. And Maria's like, oh, I want to do that, but I don't want it to be Kenzie's move. And I guess the bigger question I have for the two of you is, is it, everyone's one of claiming these moves of I did this, I did this. Is it better to have this one move on your resume, or is it better to be a part of several moves? Like Maria and Charlie can literally be a part of every move from here on out. And I think if they're at the end, like it's enough to say, hey, I didn't make one move, but I was a part of everything. Is that better to have one move on your resume that's massive, or is it better to have like several you're involved in most votes? Like I think that's more important to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, look, I don't think you need to have seven moves, but glad someone got that.
Many.
Several,
yeah.
Look, I think for me and like how I would approach the game, like I think being involved in multiple different things and just being part of a move is more important than just having one big move, especially because like you look at how people approach what's, I don't know, their move. And there's so many moving parts. Like you can have an idea, but that doesn't mean that two other people haven't had a discussion. And it's just you've approached them with the idea, but everyone else has already discussed it. Like you see that with when Gabler won his one and Cody was saying, you know, like they've had moves in the past that were being worked on. And then everyone else was like, oh, okay, didn't realize that. I guess it's no one's move or it's our move. So it's just having that understanding that everyone has a part to play in a move, and your decision to, you know, flip on your alliance and go with someone else's plan is still a big move, but is it your move or is it someone else? And that's just like, that it never seems to sit right that one person can claim something because not one person has full agency over what happens in a game.
Mm. Yeah. I want to sort of bring up, I want to answer your question with a question, and it's going to be probably a long drawn out question like I do. Okay, so if someone has a little piece of every sort of move going through the merge, then I think it's more about their final tribal council performance and how they explain it to everyone, giving, because everyone's the hero of their own story, giving everyone credit and just saying, yes, I was a part of that. These are my parts of this. I talked with you. I manipulated you, blah, blah, blah. I kept this going. But we've also seen so many, I guess, in this new era, we've seen so many people win on just one move. Like, let's talk about Marianne in the final seven. It was getting Omar out, I believe. That was a huge part. If she does not do that, she probably doesn't win the game. And then we have even Erica, we can say, she didn't really dominate anything till sort of that last sort of Ricard move at the 105. She wasn't a part of everything. She was a part of little things, but not a part of everything. So which one is better? Getting that one move between the final seven onwards, or being a part of every little thing and maybe not explaining it properly at final tribal council, Mac?
Yeah, I do think, like what you said, at Final Tribal Council is where you need to be able to explain it properly. I think if you don't do it the right way, you might probably won't get the votes. But I think the way to do it is to say, hey, say, I don't know, Tevin, you made this move and I was a part of it. And then you did this and I was a part of that. And so, telling those people, like, it's your move, but I was a part of it. And how was I a part of every single move without anyone detecting that I was doing it all? And I think that's such a... like if you said it the right way, it's such a huge point to say I was a part of everything because everyone trusted me, and to be that middleman and to not get targeted is a really tough spot to be in. But if you can do it right, I think it gives you a lot of power at the end. And that's where I think if Maria and Charlie can play it right, they, you know, if they don't get this ego where it needs to be my move, I do think they can find their way to the end, because I just think no one's looking at them. Like, there's so much in the middle, and there's so many people that are hating each other on both sides, and it's in their best interest to keep warring factions against each other. So if they can do that properly and articulate it at the end, maybe they can't sit together, but if one of them's there, I think they've got the winning game.
I want to add on, and I want to tack on another member to the two people we're discussing, and I want to tack on Ben. Now, I genuinely believe this episode was sort of Ben's birthing into strategy, because we really haven't seen anything of substance from him this season. We've seen substance from his personality, not really substance in the game and substance in strategy. And this episode, he was in every discussion. He looks like he's still very close to Charlie and Maria. And obviously he has Kenzie there on the side. Kenzie and him have obviously connected very, very well and are getting very close, to the point that could they be number ones for each other? Who knows? Kenzie did go after her number one this episode. And Kenzie seems to think
number ones.
Yeah, Kenzie seems to be a lot of people's number ones, because Hunter even mentions that Kenzie's his number one going into in this episode. So that was very interesting and sort of came out of left field. But Ben, the Seager 3, could this be what we're saying in the future? We talk about the, the Tiki 3, and then we had the, who were the fucking four from last season?
The Reba 4.
These fucking four-letter names of tribes is shit me up the wall. But could we be talking about the Seager 3 going into 47?
Yeah, it does feel like, I mean, so much of the early game was so dominant, like Kenzie, Q and Tiff, because, you know, they're going to tribal councils so often. So you kind of get that perception that they're going to be the ones who just run the game. But there has just been so many like little instances of, yeah, Maria and Charlie obviously being so strong together. And I think that Ben, while he hasn't been as featured yet, like this episode was sort of a breakout in some ways, but he's definitely been like, he's been voting with them the whole time. Like, it's clear that Seager 3 are still staying as a group. And I think that that's always kind of been their intention, especially when brought in Maria into the six, but wanted to work with Ben most of all. And having that kind of a four that's now become a three is probably what's going to like drive the outcomes going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I love this talk about Ben because he's my winner pick. I'm not seeing it the way you guys are, but like, I don't see them as a threesome. There's a deleted scene from last week's episode where Maria is interrogating Ben about the previous vote on Tim and what happened there, and, oh, where's the idol from the Seager Beach? And she's really like, they're not together. And I think at the moment it's a marriage of convenience. Like, Ben has nowhere to go. He has Kenzie or he has Maria and Charlie, and it's like that's all he has. So right now it works for Maria and Charlie to keep Ben along, but I just don't see them long-term as a three. Like, it's a two and it's a plus one, which – at the moment, it works for everyone, but I don't think this is a long-term alliance.
But if Ben's going to, like, I mean, yeah, I get that Ben's probably, like, the third one in that group, but at the same time, you kind of need that delineation of, like, who's our extra one that we can kind of cut off at some point, but he's going to work with them. I don't see him having too many other options other than Kenzie, and that's not enough, like, going forward from, like, a strategy perspective, it seems.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think if Kenzie is coming up with some plans, which, yeah, she's shown to be a good game player, like we said, trying to get Tiff out of that, I think, over Maria and Charlie. Like, I don't think he's loyal to anyone. He's sort of just floating, is sort of how I see it. Like, he's not with anyone. He has Kenzie's options. He has Maria and Charlie's options. He can pick a side. If they're together, great, because now he's keeping them all happy. But I just think he'll be, like, almost like a free number if someone wants to pick him up, because he needs a home, and everyone wants to be loved and show Ben a bit of love. And we've seen that when Kenzie shows a bit of love, Ben loves that. So he just wants someone to rock with, you know.
You got to chill in the notch in the unchill.
That's it.
You got to chill in the unchill.
Something like that. Yeah, he said.
that was awesome. Look, I'm gonna sway the conversation. I'm gonna get us off the Seager 3 or the Seager 2 plus 1. And the plus one alliance. Hey, references coming out everywhere. This is great. And I I'm actually very, very surprised. I think Q's name's been brought up once this episode, and there's someone that we haven't talked about at all, and that is Venus. Now, this is probably the latest in the podcast that the name has not been brought up, but I want to bring up Venus in a good light this week. I want to talk about her strategies. And let's be serious. I've discussed throughout this season that I actually don't mind her theories and her strategies. Her strategies haven't been horrible. She just doesn't have the social capital to pull anything off. Now, obviously, we see that she takes the Tevin move. She thinks it's her own. That, like, Liz thinks the same thing. And it's just all mixed up. I want to talk about how Venus has a confessional that this is a good time for a blindside. Hunter, Q, biggest targets, everyone wants them out, but this is a time for a nice blindside. And are we seeing Venus starting to get a little bit of a roll on? Because realistically, she has been a part of a few moves. Yes, definitely not the driving factor. She thinks she is, but she's not. But coming into this episode, it looks like she's starting to get a little bit of footing in the game. And she brings up with Kenzie and Ben, maybe it's time for a blindside. Let's switch things up. She talks about how she loves being in this chaos, which is definitely working for her. But could Venus maybe get a vote at the end if she makes it there? Because she's really starting to just not be the target, not be on people's radars as the biggest annoyance in the tribe, I guess.
I think Venus is probably, in some ways, the most interesting character out there. I think that having her on this season, like, you want to have, like, different styles to make a season good. And, like, her, like, to your point, yeah, her reads and her, you know, ideas of what to do are great. But they're only great for Venus. And I think that that's probably her problem. Like, she doesn't realize that whilst a move makes sense and she can see a pathway for her going forward, she's not understanding that those moves don't always benefit other people. And that's why she can't get people on board. And I mean, you know, she's also horrible socially. Yeah. So that's also going to, like, limit her ability to get people to do what she wants to. She's just not really connecting with people in that same way. But yeah, she does have a great understanding of the game. But it's only her understanding. It's just such a narrow view, and it's limiting her ability to work with people other than just being, like, a last minute add-on into an option. But I guess, yeah, I guess she has been chatting with Maria, Charlie, and Kenzie, I think it was, when they were talking about wanting to vote out Tiff. So, like, clearly she's involved in some conversations and probably is, like, more involved than we're seeing, but I think that they're just wanting that storyline of Venus is quite abrasive and is hard to deal with.
I think she's at the point, I mean, she was probably at this point a few weeks ago where everyone knows that she can't win. So there's a sense of, like, we don't need to ever, or we can just take her out whenever we want. So she's been so depowered just by who she is, what she's tried to do, it's failed. And I don't think anyone respects her enough as a game player, honestly. Like, I just think she's at that point now where, Venus is here, but she's not threatening to anyone. So we can just leave her in the game until it's convenient for us to take her out. And the thing with this sort of chaotic season, mainly through Q, is it's never going to be convenient to take her out because there's always going to be bigger threats. There's always going to be someone causing chaos. There's always going to be these distractions around where she will find herself at least in the final five and you know, probably get to final three because no one's looking at her. And we've seen it so often in this new era, where there's always someone who just gets to the end because they don't get the respect of a game player that can win the game. So you want to sit next to them. It's the GOAT strategy. And Venus, you know, almost from episode one, being seen as this GOAT for everyone to see, this audience.
Yeah, look, I very much agree with what you're saying there, Mac. I'm starting to almost see a storyline where Venus is so depowered at the moment, and no one, she's got a one way ticket straight to the end, straight to the final three. Everyone would probably want to sit next to her, but her strategies are good enough that if one of these stick, just one move that she can like say is her own at like the final six, final five. And I genuinely believe she has the capacity to think one up. Like maybe she finds an idol. She just gets one thing going that's completely hers. And she can not be so abrasive at Final Tribal Council. I think that's going to be the hardest thing for her. I could genuinely see her getting votes now because we have someone that's even more depowered than her, and that's Q. Q could be someone to take to the end because of how depowered he is. He's not getting any votes. We see it this episode. Everyone's against Q, but yet they still got Hunter out this episode because Hunter's more of a threat. And next episode, there's going to be, say, Tiff, or there's going to be, say, someone else that is just more of a threat than Q. So all of a sudden, we get a Final Tribal Council of Charlie, Venus, and Q, or Maria, Venus, and Q, or Kenzie, Venus, and Q, and Q's a zero-vote finalist. Venus gets a vote or two, and maybe gives a Charlie, Maria, or a Kenzie a run for their money.
I think that too many things would have to happen for someone to want to like do a Venus move and for her to be able to sell it as her thing. Because I think that like in her mind already, she thinks that she did that soda vote. Like in her, she's very much on board with that being her move. And that's just going to blow up in her face when she goes to sell council. And someone like Tevin, who obviously like probably just hates her, has been, you know, bad this whole time. And that's only going to build. So I think that she's just going to be too depowered and just going to have everyone against her from that social side of things. Like she just hasn't managed it enough.
Mac?
Yeah, I just don't see it. It's such a fine needle to thread to get there with another goat in queue. And even you just said it yourself. If she's sitting next to Charlie and Maria, she might get two votes. That's not a winning game in the final three. If Q's got zero and she gets two, she still loses. So, yes, she'll get to the end probably. Yes, if Q's there, she might beat Q, but she's never going to get enough votes to win the game. Like, it's just not going to happen. She's delusional. She will say the wrong thing at Final Tribal Council. She'll claim all these moves that didn't happen, but they happened in her head. Like, I just don't see it. And I know you're trying to talk. I don't know why you're trying to talk her up, but, like, it's not going to happen.
Now, first of all, I'm speculating, and at the same time, I have never actually said she'd win the game. Not once did I say that she was going to win the game. I think we can agree that ship sailed. I think even if she pulls off a huge blindside, like we've talked about how much in this new era, it's just about being more likable than the other two.
Which she doesn't have either.
It's not about respect. It is about respect. It's about someone respecting your game and liking you. And that's why people have won in this new era. Venus is not winning this game. I'm just wondering if she maybe gets a vote or two because people that can put her, I guess, personality aside. I'm sorry, Venus. they can look past the personality and maybe think, okay, maybe she did have a bit of agency in this game eventually.
Well, I guess that's to be continued. We'll see what happens in the next few episodes. Maybe she'll make a move. Maybe she'll move up the totem pole. But once you lose that respect, it's so hard to get that back. It is. We don't see it often or ever where someone's been this disliked, this disrespected, and have come back and had this redemption story. So if she does it, it'll be an all-time win because
Mike Holloway?
Right now, it does not look like that way.
Mike Holloway.
Mike Holloway, yes, but he earned that respect through his gameplay on winning every challenge. He had the idol. He was protective of Shireen. Like, he had things going his way. Whereas I don't see that same arc for Venus. Like, Mike wasn't hated. He was just, he was on the other side and we needed to get him out because he was such a threat. Venus is not that person.
Fair. I like that.
Like a Ben Dreeburgen, same sort of thing. Was, you know, the same thing. He was the enemy. He was going to win. He had all the Ben bombs. He was doing all that stuff. But because he's so divisive and he had this big story, it's hard not to vote for that at the end. Like, Venus is sort of doing the same thing, but the story isn't, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Okay. Well, do we want to talk about the Q factor?
Yeah, I think we have to address it, right?
Okay, let's
He's the main character, isn't he? He just continues to get better every week.
His gameplay is just on point, right?
Yeah, okay. Going then. Yeah, like we sort of mentioned a minute ago, like he's going to be another finalist that isn't great. He's becoming like the Phillip of the season. He's becoming this, especially after last week with the whole tribal council thing, he's become this toxic personality that no one wants to work with. He's like a leper in the street. You just don't want to get near them because if you associate with them, you'll sink your own game. So everyone's sort of disassociated themselves from him. They just want to leave him to his own devices. And he's sort of now been so depowered that he's also, like Venus, another you know, tasty goat to take to the end.
Yeah, Jake from last season is someone that I'm comparing him to.
Yeah.
Obviously, completely different personalities, completely different reasons for the position that they're in, but they're just so depowered that anything that they touch just seems to collapse and just seems to just not work now. And he's so much fun to watch, but I just don't understand him. I just don't understand how he's thinking and how he is and how he just keeps doing crazy on crazy on crazy.
Well, question for you both, because this is something Jeff brought up at Tribal Council, is Q playing a bigger, grander game than seeing? This idea of causing all this ruckus at Tribal Council, being this biggest, loudest person in the room, is this like a new meta strategy of how to be such a huge target, you're not a target? Because no one wants to take out the big target anymore. Everyone wants to do these blindsides because Q is the obvious move. So is he playing this game in a new way that we've never seen before? Or is he just delusional?
I don't, well, then is Venus doing the same thing? Like how meta is this getting?
No, because Q is bigger and bolder. And what he did last time on Tribal Council where he's like, vote me out and stuff. Is this like a new evolving strategy? I would like to see a confessional from him to say that this is my intention. We haven't seen that yet, but it might be coming. But do you think it is possible that he's thinking in this grander way of this new evolving strategy that we haven't seen anything like this before? What do you think? Do you think it's that, or is he just really just he's sort of lost his grip on reality, lost his grip on the game, and he's just struggling to find it back?
I think he's lost it. There is no strategy. And I think like everyone, and I listened to quite a few podcasts because I'm starting to really get into this season, even if I'm still not the biggest fan of this season. So I listened to a lot of other people talk about it, and everyone last week was trying to justify Q's quit. I know we talked about it. Like, is there a different layer to this that no one's seeing? Everyone was trying to justify it. Everyone was trying to see through it. Like, he didn't go home, but there was nothing. We got nothing. The editors couldn't give us anything because there's nothing there. The editors would probably want to give, like, Q, as you said, Q's the main character of the season. The editors want to give us something. There's just nothing to give because it's just so crazy. It's just so full of shit. It is just a shit fight. That is it. It's a shit fight. Q is a shit fight. It is. There's nothing else to give. There's no layers to Q. This is what we get.
Yeah, Q's just, he's just such an up and down character. Like, he goes through moments of, like, I don't know, what seems like kind of pure genius where it's like, oh, he's thinking of like doing cross-tribe alliances, or he's trying to hold his group together and taking out people who are threatening them. But then he just throws all of that away by just not having kind of that social connection with people. Like, he's so condescending to everyone. Like, imagine being Barnu and having someone teaching you how to play the game when you're already on the show. And like, he ripped into Charlie for what was it, like telling Venus that he voted for her, and he's just he's not making those reads socially. And I think that that's always been his problem. Like, I think that from the start he was never a chance to win the game. Like, I think that he is who Jeff was talking about in that first episode when he's like, you can make it to the end and you will never win. And the problem is, like, I think that anyone, any type of player can win Survivor, and any person can win Survivor, but you have to understand, like, how you're going to play. Like, Q can't play the same game that, say, Venus is playing. Like, he can't play the same game as Liz. Like, he's got to beat their character and try to push his way because he's going to be seen as, like, a bigger guy. So he has to play into that in some ways. but he's just gone about it the wrong way. He's ripping away, he's stripping away his alliances. Like, he and Tiff were so tight, and he just chose, yeah, they're done.
Mm.
And it's like recognizing what alliances are working and what aren't. And the Six was never working. And he had a good thing going on with Tiff and Kenzie.
I want to throw this back and just get even more meta. Jeff Probst, first episode, one of his first lines is, one of you can't win this game. There are people here that can't win this game. Does he say this every season? But this is the first season that it actually makes a whole lot of sense, and it's like really dwelling in our heads because we do get a Venus and a Q at the end.
I guess, mate.
This is the first time he's aired it because Venus and Q get to the end somehow.
Because there's a payoff, yeah. Because there's actually like a long-term payoff. It's an interesting point. Potentially. I think that's a lot of fun if it is. But I think Q's just sort of he had such a grip on the game, and he'd come from this Janu minority, which somehow got to the merge and had all his power. He had the power with the Six, the Plus One Alliance, which is now decimated, three in a row, back-to-back-to-back out. Three out of the last four, anyway. Yeah. And he's just sort of blown up his own game. He could have recovered from last week if he didn't do that thing at Tribal Council. He could have still been in a decent spot. People seem to want to work with him. And you talk about his coaching people one-on-one. I think that comes from a good place in his heart, and maybe there's a certain way to go about it, which he's not quite in touch with. But I just think he had a winning game and he was playing a good game until a point. And it's now just unraveled to a point where now he's like the laughing stock of the and he can be trusted and nobody wants to work with him. So be interesting to see where he goes. Can he survive a few more? I just think he can. I just think he's going to just be the big target and no one will go for him because there's other blind sides to happen. But and people want all these moves on the resume. And as Ben said this episode, if we take out Q, that's not going to boost anyone's resume. So why do it? Which I think is the wrong idea, but I think that's how they're all thinking.
Yeah, I think if you're someone like Ben, you probably do want to get rid of Q because, like, yeah, like we spoke about it before, but like Ben's game, he hasn't done too much presence. But if you're wanting to make it to the end, you need to be getting rid of the people who are going to be taking up your spot. Like, you need to be getting rid of a Venus or a Q.
Yeah.
Because those are, like, almost guaranteed people that everyone else would be looking at and just thinking, I want to take you to the end. And that's a spot that Ben doesn't get. And especially if he's going to be working with Maria and Charlie, they're probably wanting to at least get towards maybe final five or so between the two of them. So now he's just very limited in options. And that's why you kind of want to get rid of those goats.
All right, let's move past this. Let's talk about this episode specifically, not the players individually. Let's talk about Hunter going home. Who's this good for? Who's this bad for? We've got Kenzie, who tries to sort of work out a strategy to blindside Tiff, her closest ally, because of the idol. Like, this isn't, like, is this too soon? I definitely am worried for it. Tiff getting through this episode with her idol is great play, I believe, by her, and a great read on the game. I think Hunter going home is best for Charlie and only Charlie, because Hunter was such a shield for everyone else. He was like a Q, like everyone was aiming at him. Charlie now winning, like coming up against Hunter twice in a row in immunity challenges, Charlie now becomes the biggest threat as an immunity challenge beast, but isn't seen that by anyone at all.
Yeah, I'm going to push back on that. I don't think Charlie's seen that way. I think the last two challenges, fair enough, maybe they're playing to his strength of a bit of endurance, but Charlie is not running away with these immunity challenges. He would not win. He might win one more, and that's all I'll give him. He's not going to run away with it. I think Hunter going is good for everybody, because as we said the last like 3 weeks in a row, Hunter has the ability to win every single challenge. He has an idol. He's likable. He's got this personality which you'll vote for at the end. He's like the stereotypical winner, and that's what we're seeing. So him going opens the game right up. Now, last week he lost Tevin. But at the same time, and we hear him say it in confessional, he lost Liz and he lost Q. So he lost his everything he had was taken away from him, and that's the time to take him out. It's no good keeping these big threats in the game because it's not going to boost the resume. No, when Hunter's vulnerable, take him out. And, you know, he had an idol in his pocket as well, and it's the perfect time to get him because he didn't use it. And even if he did use it, there was a backup plan for Q. Like, no one was at risk here from going home. Target the person with the idol, take him out. I think it was good for everyone.
Yeah, I do like what you said there. Like, Q was the backup plan. That's why I did bring up Jake from last season as a very good comparison to Q. Is Q is now the perfect backup plan for every plan going forward.
Mm.
So, and Jake, that seemed to be sort of Jake's spot. Jake was always the split vote. It was always try to get this person out, but if that doesn't work, Jake goes home. And that's Q's path to the end, is it's going to be a lot of votes going his way.
What it does, having that backup plan as Q, is you don't have to be scared of idols anymore because you can always split on the other person. And that's why I think it was a mistake for Charlie and Maria not to go for Tiffany, because she has an idol. She showed them idol and they backed off. But this is the time to get her. She has an idol in her pocket. Make her play it. Make her play the idol. Force her hand, because the backup plan was always going to be Q. Like, we knew that there was going to be votes on him because people wanted to go that way. So it's not going to rebound on you. You shouldn't be so scared of idols not to vote for the person with the idol. So I think Tiff played it well, yes, but I think it was a mistake not to target her. That being said, once Hunter pulls out his idol, they sort of did the right thing. They targeted an idol. So
yeah.
Give him credit for that. But the time is now to not be scared of idols because you have a legitimate backup plan which everyone can get behind.
Do you want to deal with a pissed off Tiff that's had to burn her idol because she was going to get voted out, even if it's just for a day?
I mean, yeah, like, what's the alternative? Like, she keeps her idol and just goes the whole way.
Think about a personality. Like, do you want to deal with a pissed off Tiff? Like, Tiff has been holding herself back so much. She's trying to keep herself calm, even at Tribal Council. She's like, I don't want to say anything that's going to fuck up my game. Do you want to deal with a pissed off Tiff after a failed attempt to get her out and her having to burn her idol, thinking that there's going to be no votes on her? That is not someone I want to deal with for the next day.
Well, I mean, it's a big island, so you can always avoid her if you want.
Play hide and seek again.
Play hide and seek.
Play hide and seek. I was going to say, I thought that Tiff is someone who's like rational enough that if you vote for her, she's going to, you know, turn around and you might be able to work with her again. But after seeing the way she's reacted to Q, oh boy. Yeah, you just hope that the island's big enough that you can avoid her.
Yeah, like this.
But that shouldn't be a deterrent to not vote for someone. How are they going to react? Like, I don't think if you're feeling that way, if you're scared to do that, then, you know, maybe Survivor's not for you. You've got to be able to risk it for the biscuit, you know?
Yeah.
You just hope that, like, your game speaks enough when you're trying to present it at Final Tribal Council. Like, if you've got a pissed off jury, you might still be able to bring them back from your strategy and your plans. And you can say to Tiff, who probably is quite confident in her game, I voted you out because you're such a big threat. Talk up to them, play on their egos, get them on side and think, yeah, I am a big threat. You did vote me out. I don't want anyone else to take the credit for this. I want the person who voted me out to be the one that's the winner.
Yeah. I like that. I like how you said that. Okay.
What do you think about Kenzie's idea to get rid of Tiff? While we're on Tiff, let's just stick there. What do you think about Kenzie's, I don't know, like, of saying, oh, she's my number one, let's get rid of her. And the fact that she goes to Charlie Maria and says, Tiff's my number one, I want to vote her out. What does that say to other people? Like, she's your number one, why would I work with you? Because if you can vote out your number one, you can vote us out. So do you think this was a good idea from Kenzie?
I think Kenzie has the most options in the game other than Charlie and Maria. I think she has a more broad, I think just because of her social game, she has a more broad liking and a more broad chance to work with everyone. Charlie and Maria seem to always find themselves in the center, whereas Kenzie has a relationship with every single person out there.
Mm.
Kenzie getting Tiff out now, if she gets the credit for the move, I think that's bad for her, because she just goes next week, everyone, oh shit, we've all got a relationship with Kenzie, let's get her out. But if Kenzie gets Tiff out, I don't see it really weakening her game, because she is talking to every single person. She has conversations with Liz. She has conversations with Venus. She has obviously has Ben to a certain quite a decent extent because of the personal connection that they have. She has the Charlie and the Maria. Who else is in the game? Well, she doesn't have Q, but I feel like she could probably pull Q in if she had to, just because of their existing relationship from Yanu. So I don't see it. If Tiffany goes this episode, I don't see that weakening her game as long as she doesn't get credit. My issue that I'm having this season is everyone seems to fucking want credit. Liz gets very upset she didn't get the credit for the Tevin move because of Q's overshadowing. I want to throw back that the best thing that could have happened to her was Q overshadowing the Tevin move. She brings it up at a final tribal council and she says it in a right way, which I genuinely believe she could. She seems to talk quite well, is the best thing for her. Like, it really worked very well in her favor and sort of maybe stopped her from being voted out this episode as being the king of the castle.
I mean, every episode, in anticipation for this podcast, I went back and rewatched all the episodes. So I was like, I want to get a good head for the game.
Get it right. Yeah.
I was hating it so much that I want to at least give it a shot. And every single episode, there's definitely a scene or a moment where Kenzie, you just see her talking to a different person each time. And she's just got this energy. She is that dragon mermaid that Barnu was talking about. She really does bring people in and just has kind of aura. But I think that for her, she really has to rely on the social side because she has been left out of so many votes or has been in the backseat of votes. And she's talked about wanting to make sure that, her, Q and Tiff took a backseat on a couple of the votes so that they didn't look too big. But all those votes that they did have were led by Q and by Tiff. So she really needs to, if Tiff was to go, I think that the next episode, if she goes there, that still can be something that Kenzie kind of claims as her move to be I put the seeds out there. I sort of laid the groundwork and that's what's going to work for her. So yeah, I think that you just want to be careful not to push your idea at the start. You just need to lay those little seedlings and just watch it progress. And then when you do get to a final tribal council, you can then speak to all those moves and say, hey, you might have pulled off the move, but I laid the foundation.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, she's playing a good social game and she has a working relationship with everyone, which I think was Buckle's point. But I think if we're just going to talk specifically about this move on Tiff, I think it's just a blatant mistake for me. There's one thing to have a working relationship with people. There's another thing to have loyalty from day one in this game where the Janu people went through so much together. Her and Tiff are arguably the tightest duo in the game. And I think Tiff would see it that way. So to target your person that is never going to vote you out, Tiff will never turn on Kenzie. I just don't see it happening. Is to me, just, it must be a blind spot for her. Tiff is so loyal to her that you need, why vote this person out? They're always going to be on my side. They'll always vote with me if I want them to. I just think it was a really bad read because once they're gone, you lose that bit of insulation. You lose people telling you information. You lose someone vouching for you in conversations you're not in. So I just don't think this was great from Kenzie.
I think we've talked about in these last 2 weeks, we talked about Tevin and how it was a bad move getting Soda out. We talked about Liz and how it was a bad move getting Tevin out for the same reasons that you're bringing up, Mac. But we're getting to the final nine. Now, at the start of the merge, that I think is justified. And I do completely get where you're coming from. And you are right. Having Tiff in the game is a positive for her. But Kenzie has enough outs that, as I said, as long as she didn't get the credit, losing Tiff here makes her less of a threat. Makes her less of a duo. I feel like the final nine, this might be the time to start losing your closest allies that are bigger threats than you and could beat you at the end. I'm actually 50-50. I'm on the fence. You've definitely pulled me back to the fence. I was thinking it was a good thing for Kenzie coming into this podcast. I think you've pulled me back to the fence. in not too sure if it's a good thing, but I don't see it as a horrible thing either. I think she has enough outs to get to the end without a tiff. And as I said, I think a big thing was on the credit. Her getting credit for it makes her the next cue, the next hunter, blah, blah, blah. But if she got through this without getting complete credit, she is the one player that could have gotten through, that is going to get through comfortably, is going to have people talking her up, is going to still have a chance to get to the end without her biggest ally in the game. And not to mention, as we've talked about many, many times, having your biggest ally on the jury bench still happy with you is a great thing early in the merge, because they're going to be talking you up to everyone for the rest of Pandorosa.
Yeah, look, can she make it to the end? Yes. Is it a harder road without Tiff? I would also say yes.
Yeah, but you also want to be, like, you want to get to tribal, like, final tribal council, building momentum. And I think that, yeah, at final nine, that's when you've got a chance to sort of take out someone that's close to you if you feel like you need to. If you feel like Tiff's game is bigger than Kenzie's game, then, yeah, you probably want to get rid of her as a shield and then just operate, like, playing the margins, working with individual people. And I think that her relationship, or like her bond with Ben, is much closer than what we're seeing. Like, they both have said to other groups, like, oh, I think I can bring Ben in, or Kenzie, or Ben saying, I think I can bring Kenzie in. So I think that that duo is actually probably much more important than what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, so I just think final nine is such a long way from the end. It's so far out. You've got so many votes to get through, twists and turns. And, you know, Tiff's idle in her pocket can help you as well. Like, it's you know. Anyway, like, we can agree to disagree, but
yeah,
that's how
I know. So Sam's obviously on one side, you're on the other side. I'm now in the middle, because I think you've brought up some very good points, Mac. And as we've discussed, like, we thought it was a bad move for Liz. We thought it was a bad move for Tevin. Well, you thought it was a good move for Tevin. And that's final 11. So anyway, so now you're the me and I'm the you. This is, like, I just think Kenzie is the player that can get this worked out with Tiff in the game or not. But I definitely see where you're coming from. I want to now talk about this from Tiff's side. And Tiff, I really like Tiff in this episode. Don't get me wrong. Yes, going off at Tribal Council, probably not the greatest thing. She really sort of did everything. She's got a personality on it, that's for sure. She was able to put that aside and get Hunter out this episode with, even though she has such a anger for Q, she was able to bring up her name and save herself without even knowing she was on the block, with saying she's going to play her idol, giving herself implicit immunity, pretty much. And she conveyed that to everyone. She bluffed everyone that she was going to play her idol. Tiff played a really good episode this episode.
Yeah, look, I think not many people played this episode great. And I guess spoiler alert for a bit later, like, I think she probably played it the best. Despite it not being fantastic, like, her number one throwing her name out, I think the way she buffed the idol was perfect. When you just say, I'm going to play it because everyone knows about it, it doesn't sound like a lie. Like, it sounds so believable. It's something that most people would do. I want to take this target off my back. I'm going to play it. So, like you said, it's implicit immunity. And at a time where she should not have had implicit immunity, because they should have still voted for her, because there was a backup plan. They had enough numbers to split a vote. Having an idol should not have saved her, but somehow she made it work. So, like you said, she did play it well. There's not many holes in it. I think the only hole maybe is burning Q at Tribal Council. She's talking to him. She's really, that bridge is not burning. It's in the water. It's crashed. It's collapsed. Like, there's nothing there. And
people are going to salvage that in, like, 20 years for lumber.
Yeah, I just think you never want to burn a bridge, but I guess people want two people that are fighting in the game. So maybe it gives them both longevity, because if I'm in the game and there's two people fighting at war, it's a distraction for me. So I want clear divisions, and I want to be in the middle of that, like Charlie and Maria. So perhaps it gives both Q and Tiffany longevity to have openly fighting. It'd be interesting, but I think she had a pretty good episode, yeah, like you said.
Let's talk about where Hunter went wrong. I think we talked about last episode, Hunter was starting to lose momentum, lose his out. He was a huge chance to win this season prior to last week. and was maybe not playing his idol for Tevin last week. In a meta universe, we could discuss that till the fucking cows come home. But him bringing up that he had an idol this week, we talked about Tiffany having implicit immunity by saying she's going to play it, she's going to play it, she's going to play it, was him being so close to the bottom, so depowered, so big of a threat, especially in immunities, him telling him about the idol, was this him in a different, like, was this forcing him to play it? Like, he had to play it this week, right?
Yeah, he was so close to doing the right thing. The right thing is to show the idol because people didn't believe him. Tiffany talks to, I think it was Ben. He doesn't have an idol. Yeah, why would he have an idol? Like, it was unbelievable. Pull it out. Show the people. I have this idol. I'm going to play it. Put the fear of God in them. Now, like I said a few times already, like, they should have still voted for him, which they did. But if people see it, they get scared. It might have gone a different way.
Yeah, really just like he wanted his... He wanted his cake and he wanted to eat it too. Like, he should have played his idol and he shouldn't have told people. Like, it would have been a much better idea to make sure that he had the votes coming towards him playing from there. Like, do you get him telling Q he needs someone to work with? Like, he can't just, the fact of the matter is, like, he kind of needed two votes to go on to someone to cancel out any kind of split that might have happened. But It was a mistake to tell everyone else. Like, that just completely changed what was going to happen, and it really solidified to everyone else that we need to get rid of Hunter. Like, he's clearly going to win a lot of challenges. If he's going to make it through this vote, you don't know the next challenge that he's going to lose. So he just blundered, like, from start to end. He never really, it just seemed like he played scared in some ways. Like, he wanted to take such a back seat and was relying on the fact that he could just win out to make it to the end.
I listened to his exit interview and he was saying, walking into the tribal council, he was 100% going to play the idol. So whatever's gone on with the fight with Q and the whole, you know, thing about that, he's changed his mind to not play it. I think, I mean, I've spoken about it before in the past. The idea to, you know, keep these idols forever is such a bad strategy. I think just play them and find another one. You know, you just get through it. If you're any sort of worried about the vote, just play it and ensure your safety because the game is so unpredictable. You live to fight another day. There's no point in having an idol in your pocket. People do it too often. People go home with idols too often for me. So he knew he was going to be a target. He heard his name. That's enough for me to say play the idol.
I don't know why he didn't just play his shot in the dark. Like, if he wanted to keep his idol and he knew that the plan was Q and he thought, well, it's a throwaway vote if I give it to Q anyway, play your shot in the dark, see if that hits. If it doesn't, then play your idol. Like, he's got pathways to keep himself safe.
Yeah, and not to mention, he plays his shot in the dark. He can then read the audience. Like, he can read the people still left and then make the decision whether to play his idol or not.
Yeah.
I actually really love that, Sam. That is awesome. That is an awesome out for him because he plays his shot in the dark. He can then gauge a read, which he seems to be reasonably okay at. Hunter is not a social player. He is not good socially. He's too quiet, too introverted. And that was his downfall overall in this game. He just does not understand social. He's the opposite to Venus. He'd prefer to just sit back and just let things play out and try to read them, but he seems to have bad reads. And whereas she's more thinking that she's on top of everything. Hunter needed to do something here, and he needed to do something to shake it up so then he could get a read to whether or not to play his idol. He also needed to think, what's the most logical move? Hunter did have some strategy in his mind. It definitely turned out to not be a good strategy. Overall, I thought it was up until 2 weeks ago, and now I'm like, Hunter was not a very good strategic player. But he should have understood that the right move was to get Hunter out. The right move was either a blindside on someone else or to get Hunter out. And with Tiff going around, flashing her idol, telling everyone she's going to play it, he should have known that he was at least going to be the backup. He was at least going to get votes of some sort. And tried to save himself. It's a real. It's, I've got to take my hat off to everyone for stopping him from playing his idol. They're the real heroes here because he, as you said, he was 100% going to play his idol going into tribal council.
Yeah. Do you think on that though that like when say like Kenzie and Venus are saying to Hunter the whole time, "Hey, we're voting for Q." Do you think that was like that was genuine, or was it always the plan to split on the two of them and then get Hunter on the revote?
I think that was genuine that they're voting for Q with the, like, knowing that they're going to split on him on the revote. Mm-hmm. There was like, their loophole to telling the truth.
Yeah.
We're not going to vote for you. We're not going to vote for you. But then on the revote, flip it if it works out. And it worked out really, really well. They all played perfectly. Charlie, Venus, and Kenzie definitely stopped Hunter from playing his idol.
Nothing to add for me.
Nothing to add. So no popcorn?
How's no popcorn? Jeff with the popcorn? Like, do we like... Okay, I've got 2 points on Jeff. Let's start with the challenge because I think that's the biggest point. What is he doing? Now, Jeff loves an inspirational story. He loves people overcoming adversity, getting off the couch and doing your thing with Sari on the balance beam, stuff like this. These nice moments. To start the challenge with... Well, Q, Venus and Liz, you have no hope. What is this? You can't have it both ways, Jeff. Either you want this, anyone can win, or you either want to be a dickhead. Like, pick your side. You can't have both.
Yeah, I think it was like, it kind of works both ways for Jeff. Like, he probably reads like a lot of the feedback and just hears, oh, these seasons are so dull. There's not much going on. Jeff's just letting anyone sort of do whatever they want. And so he's probably like pushing back and trying to be more, insert himself into the game and be this big personality that's, you know, tearing people apart. But then it also then creates those moments where it's like manufactured inspiration where someone could then win that's been told you have no chance to win or with that grouping, if one of them had have won the challenge, like that's a big moment that they can, you know, get that swelling music in the background and make it seem as if this is like really in, like against impossible odds when it's just Jeff like talking shit.
Yeah.
I just think he wants to be like he wants to be the main character now. He's like, it's my show. I should be the star. Let's just get involved. And, you know, I think the popcorn thing at Tribal Council, I think is interesting because last week they missed out on the rice. And apparently, I've heard him on his podcast, he said, we get, you know, the dietitians say after 17 days, these people need food. So they missed the rice. Maybe he's thinking, well, the popcorn might be able to sustain them for another day before we have to offer the rice again. So I think it was that. The cushion thing, I don't know.
That was a very show small...
It, which is he... That, yeah, it was a small bowl of popcorn. It wasn't big, but maybe it's enough because, yeah. But the cushion's like, he wants to make Tribal Council more theatrical than it already is. And I guess the players are playing up to that because of what Q's been doing. So overall, I think he's probably happy with what he's doing and trying to add to the theatre of it all.
Yeah. Look, as you said, the dietitian, like they need food at this stage. We hear about Liz not having eaten for 72 hours because she's allergic to fucking everything. So he brings his tiny little bowl of popcorn, which is enough serving for... not even one person, like everyone can have a big bucket of popcorn quite comfortably themselves. Popcorn is not a filling food. And to hand that out, I don't see that as the thing to like try and give them some substance because there is nothing in popcorn. Popcorn goes through people. It doesn't, it's borrowed. That's the word. Corn is borrowed, not taken because it just, goes through you and
what
giving it to Liz.
Are you talking about like nutritional value?
Nutritional value. Popcorn has about? No it, but our bodies don't digest corn very well. I don't know if this needs to make the fucking podcast, but if you take a dump after eating corn the night before, your poo is full of fucking corn. It doesn't digest. We don't digest it. That's why why corn starches and stuff are so bad for us is because the body just can't digest it properly.
So this is actually detrimental to their...
It's not a good thing. It's really it's quite a bad thing. Yeah,
so Liz would be worse. This is why Liz is a bad player.
This is, yeah, there we go. So that's coming out after giving her nothing. So now she's finally eaten something, but it's not giving her anything. So technically she hasn't eaten in, 72, 96 hours.
Right. So what you're telling me is Jeff wants Liz to quit. So he's giving her some popcorn to make it even worse.
It looks like the story, like you see what's happening next week. She tends to go crazy. She hasn't eaten in 4 days.
The popcorn's getting to her.
So you think the hoe bags that she's talking about is Jeff and the producers?
Yeah, maybe. Hey.
I will give you a little insider thing, though, that I have heard quite often before tribal councils, the players are given maybe like a small bite of chocolate or an apple or something just to perk up their energy for those moments.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think it's possible, Liz just with being allergic to life, like probably hasn't been able to eat anything. But everyone does get like potentially a little something depending on if they're like wanting a really good tribal council and they sense that energy levels are low.
Ah, I love that. Yeah. And it makes complete sense because it is still a TV product. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank that's you. A little sip of cup of immunity for you.
Hey, nice. Subtle plug.
subtle plug.
Oh, look, we've had one episode in over a year. I think that there's not much to plug.
Guys, what happened last week? Like, what did we think?
Previously on Survivor.
He goes home. I think this is the storyline. I think Q has lost all his power, but it's still Q. And being that personality that he is, I don't see him handling being on the bottom well. He couldn't handle being on the bottom, but no, he still stays.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue rationale behind it because I think I said the same thing. So he was on the bottom. He struggled to handle it, but they just had a bigger fish to fry, I suppose.
Yeah.
Let's have a look and see what I said. Give me a world where Q doesn't go home. It's hard to think of one. I think he's lost trust with every single person out there. Yeah, he was part of a plan which he's tried to change the tribal council, which nobody likes. The only thing that could save him is he now a dragger will go to the end.
Hey, so you got there's a little bit of a tick there, a little bit. Someone had to get a little bit of a tick.
Yeah, although it's the wrong prediction, I think what we're seeing is perhaps he is turning to this goat that people want to take to the end. So, yeah, maybe like a half a point there, so it wasn't too bad.
Let's make it like a 0.1 of a point because overall everything was pretty fucked.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. What's happening next week on...
Next time on Survivor!
I think that Liz is actually going to go home next week. I think that eyes are going to start circling towards Tiff. It's going to become more obvious to her that she's going to need to play her idol. And I think that she's probably wanting to work with so many of the people that are still left that Liz is kind of collateral. Like, no one is really all that tight with her. She's getting left out of votes. So I could see her just going on a bit of a rampage and then just becoming the actual target that gets voted out.
Yeah, I had pretty similar. Like, my question was, can Q survive another tribal council? And I really just think that he will. I just think he's going to just float through another one. Man, Liz, as the same, she's going to go. Like, she was on the outs of this vote. The Seeger 3 and Tiffany voted correctly. So I sort of maybe they have the power and won't choose Q and they'll choose someone. Kenzie's sort of in the middle, so they won't get her. Venus is his goat. And Liz is sort of the odd one out. So I do think it's going to be Liz as well.
I'm going to run down the same theory because I like where you guys are going with this. I feel like next week's vote is going to be just sheer collateral. And I think it's actually going to go on Ben. Liz, Venus, no power, no sort of capital in this game. I think Tiffany has to play her idol next week or at least bluff the fuck out of it again to get it through to another episode. She had her implicit immunity this week, so next week I feel like she has to play it or come up with some crazy bluff to get away with it. Q, yes, his name will be brought up constantly. I genuinely believe he'll get votes, but Ben is the person that I feel is just that little bit out that... Getting rid of him weakens so many people because It weakens the Seegers. It weakens Kenzie. Like, he seems to have talked to everyone this episode. And as I said, I felt like he was sort of, it was almost his coming out strategic episode, which means I think he goes next week. So I'm sorry, Mac. We could go one for one and our winner picks just bang, bang.
Just because you lost Hunter does not mean I have to lose my winner picks. Let's leave Ben out of this, mate.
Mate, this isn't personal. This is just what I'm reading.
Oh, it's personal. It's personal, baby.
What, because you're always losing and finally you get a little sniff of a win?
Well, you've got two in a row and I haven't got any in a row, so this is my season. So, yeah, I want to get on that board with at least one.
With at least one. This year. You're not getting it. You're not getting
it. Oh, let's see.
Sorry, mate.
Let's see.
Okay, let's eulogize. Let's talk about Hunter. I'm going to start this off with some positive stuff because I liked Hunter. Yes, as you said, Mac, this might be a little bit of bias because I picked him from the start. I saw really good things from him at the start. So I'll start with as a player. As a physical player, second to none in this season, he was really, really good. He did not have any social game at all, and he got lucky, I think, finding a Tevin, getting so close to a Tevin so early, that he probably was the merge boot without a Tevin in this season. He needed that Tevin. Losing Tevin absolutely stuffed him, and like, good on him for finding an idol, but he didn't play it. Just as a player, not so good. As a character, there wasn't a whole lot of substance there. He seemed like he was a Survivor nerd, but then he wasn't as big of a nerd as we thought. And he didn't, there was no like huge phrases that we were hearing. His introvertedness came out in his confessionals. So unfortunately, as a character, he wasn't huge in my books either. I think his biggest moment was probably just his challenge domination last week when he went upside down on the pole. And will we see him return? I don't think so. He doesn't seem to have what... for his archetype, he's not the biggest character. And I don't think we'll see him again. Mac?
Yeah, I think I'm at a point now where there's so many super fans that get cast nowadays that if they're not a huge character, I just dislike them. So I didn't like him. He was boring to me. He was playing the game correctly and all this sort of stuff, but that's not fun anymore. So I didn't enjoy it. As a player, like, obviously great at challenges, and he's a good, you know, good tribe mate to have because he's building all these things, and that's fine. But it just didn't do it for me. As a character, very limited. Didn't have the big personality, which is fun to watch. So nothing for me to him. And he was your winner pick, so I just had his bias against him from the start. So he won't return, I don't think. He wasn't big enough for that. And, yeah, he's gone, which I love that he's gone because it opens up the game for everyone else because I was certain he was going to win. So this is good for the season. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, I'm glad he's gone. I think that he wasn't bringing too much to the table in terms of the gameplay. He was just a dull guy, and like, I feel for him because my worry is that if ever I got on Survivor, I would have all these plans of like, I know how to do this puzzle, I know how to do this challenge, and then just play too much in the background, and that's just kind of what happened to him, and he's probably going to be someone who's just forgotten by next season.
Yeah. Alright guys, let's get to my favorite part of every episode. Let's get to Buckle's buff of the episode, and I'm going to kick this off with saying this was the hardest episode I've found to find the buff this season. I really, really struggle to think of who is the best player of the episode. And I think I got very lucky with us talking it through because I had two names and I've been able to narrow it down to my buff goes to Tiff. I think Tiffany played the best this episode, even though she sort of blew up at Tribal Council. I think she was able to say it. She bluffed her idol. She is a huge target coming out of last episode having an idol, and she was able to bluff her way through this idol through this episode, not even getting a single vote. She didn't go. All her bodily functions is telling her, I want Q out, get Q out, just vote Q out. And she was able to put her emotions aside and just go with Hunter in the revote. She did the right thing here for her, and she will probably survive another week because she still has an idol in her pocket. She loses the idol, who knows, that might knock her threat level down even more after next episode. There is a path to the end for her. She still has Kenzie. I think she played this right.
And I think for me, the buff should go to Charlie. I think that he was involved in all the right conversations. He's clearly got a really good thing going with Maria. He's got good allies all around. No one seems to have a bad word to say about him. He won the immunity challenge that was enabled everyone to actually be able to vote out Hunter. So I think from the get-go, like, he was leading the charge in terms of making sure that the target that everyone wanted to go was the one that went. And he seemed to know that plan from the start and sort of initiated that, especially, you know, it helps that at the actual vote out, he was also the one that stayed on Hunter the whole time and didn't have to split his vote or anything like that.
Mac?
Yeah, all valid. Special mention to Maria and Charlie being in the center of everything again, but I think they made a few errors in judgment. So my buff also goes to Tiff for everything Buckles said, buff the idol, etc. I think she can do a bit of a Ferris here and hold this idol for a bit longer. I don't think people can come for it. They don't have numbers to split. So I just think this idol is going to take Tiff, you know, a long way. And we've seen what Ferris did and how he used it for such a long time. I see similar things there. So in an episode pretty limited on good gameplay, Tiff did something good, so that's why she gets my buff.
Okay, guys, the leaderboard. So we'd already lost Tevin, Barnu, and Tim all on one piece. We again lose Hunter, who also had a buff himself from last week, or no, from 2 weeks ago. Liz and Maria are also still in the game with one buff apiece. Charlie moves up to outright fourth with two buffs. Kenzie drops down to third with 3 buffs. Tiff jumps up to second with 4 buffs. And after seeing these last few episodes, I'm like, I don't know how Q got 5 buffs in the first place. All right, guys, this has been a really, really fun podcast. Let me know, what do you got going on, Sam?
Jeez, nothing. No, look, just living life. There's nothing that's like big plans or anything. So yeah, if anyone has anything, let me know. That's so sad.
Okay. Damn, Sam wants to get joined on anything.
I'm just here for vibes, guys.
Yeah. Someone reach out to Sam, please. Help this man out.
Where can they find you if they want to talk about more Survivor with you, Sam? Because you had some great points this episode. I'm sure other people would love to talk to you.
Yeah, look, probably the best place would be, I'd say, I talk more about Survivor on Twitter, or X, sorry. So, yeah, that's just Samuel Carlin, Carlin. Follow me there if you want to chat. Otherwise, that's probably the best place. Don't find me on Instagram.
Okay, Mac, what have you got going on this week?
Very quiet weekend, much like Sam, nothing. So reach out to me, please. No, I've got soccer today. Looking for our first win of the season, so going to do that. Probably score a hat trick, and that's about my weekend. So quiet weekend all round. What about yourself, Buckles? You look like you're out in the bush at the moment. What are you doing,
mate? I do apologise if there's been a little bit of background noise. I am out with Epic Oz Adventures. We are doing the Wattigans, which is a whole lot of four-wheel drive trucks, very very close together, just outside of Morisset, New South Wales. This has been a great experience. The first day we did the infamous CPT 80 track. Good things, bad things. You'll have to see when the video comes out. But yesterday did not do great. We had a lot of car issues. Had to air up and air down quite a few times. So the boys have all gone into town to try and fix one of the cars to see if we can maybe get some more four-wheel driving in this weekend. It's going to be a very short video either way. One of the boys got up the five ways in a Raptor, which had no clearance. So that was very interesting. But you guys can all look out for that. Get us Epic Oz Adventures, all one word, on YouTube. But other than that, I just get to grace my presence. You get to grace my presence again next week, Mac. Just the two of us on another podcast, which will be a lot of fun. The final 8. is going to be very interesting because this season gets crazier and crazier. Guys, hit us up on Facebook at Survivor Buffs Blindsides and Banter. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter at Survivor3BS. Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. Get us on TikTok at Buffs Blindsides and Banter. YouTube channel is coming, guys. And hopefully we will not just have audio in the future. It looks like next American season we're aiming to have video as well. So that will be exciting for us. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. Sam's been great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Buckles. Always a pleasure. See you next week.
Yeah.
Cheers. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. Good to have you on, mate. Good stuff.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.